I'm going to mention a few national and international women's leaders, women like Wangari Maathai of Kenya, Lois Gibbs, who helped clean up Love Canal, of course, Rachel Carson, the woman who started it all with the publication of her book, Silent Spring, which was about pesticides in the environment. And then talk about why we all should be very involved in addressing one of the most serious environmental challenges of our generation, which is climate change. So I'll discuss President Obama's climate action plan, which he released last June, which really is a clarion call for all of us, whether we're students, business leaders, policymakers, to really focus on addressing the really serious issue of climate change. There was a very important UN report that came out just last week, and it was quite sobering in terms of the impacts of climate change, but also hopeful in that it said we have about a 15-year window to do something. And if we act boldly and decisively, we will have an opportunity to change course on this. But 15 years is not a lot of time to wean entire industries off of fossil fuel. But that's what we have to do if we're going to have a fighting chance to address our changing climate.
There was a court ruling just yesterday upholding EPA standards regarding some emissions. How will that help the fight against global warming and climate change?
Well, that was a mercury air toxics rule. There are some co-benefits when you reduce fossil fuel emissions, but the major fossil fuel emission that we're focused on is carbon and also methane. This court ruling is really important because it reduces mercury emissions and other air toxics from stationary sources. So we at EPA were really, really happy with the court ruling, and I think while not on point for climate change, it certainly is crucial, and I'm glad you brought it up, in terms of reducing the public's exposure to mercury and air toxics. Mercury is a potent neurotoxin. It affects our neurological system. So anything we can do to drive down mercury emissions is really important. And that's an air pollution issue, but it also affects water because the mercury builds up in the food chain and contaminates fish. So if you were to look at fish advisories that health departments have put in place across the state, you'll be surprised to see that many anglers are told not to consume certain quantities of fish because of mercury contamination in their fatty tissue. So it's a really important air-water nexus, and we're really pleased with the court decision.
Back to women and the environment for just a minute. The fact that women have the maternal instinct, women give birth, does that give them a certain insight into the environment and to keeping the air and the water clean, do you think?
Well, there are entire books written on that, but I reject that because I think it lets men off the hook. I think we all have a responsibility, whether we're moms or dads, to really pay attention to cleaning up the environment. You are correct in that more women, according to polls, pay attention to environmental issues and believe that it is a really important area that they want Congress and regulators to act on. It's a pretty big gap. But I really don't think the maternal instinct is part of the debate here. 51% of women voters compared to 55% of male voters believe that EPA should set strong environmental standards. So there is a bit of a gender gap there. What I am going to talk about today also is just the inadequate representation of women in important political leadership positions. For instance, only 19% of the House of Representatives is made up of women. And if you look at the U.S. Senate, it's only 20%. I find that number pretty astonishing in this day and age that less than a quarter of our members of Congress are women. And I think if we elect more women to office, we might see some different outcomes on environmental voting in Congress.